Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord. Hey, gang, Amla.
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We've got a special episode today. Yeah. It's all about the flute. It's all about the flute. You're going to be showing us just a few tips and tricks and techniques, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
What your approach is.
Yeah.
Like on the fly, really.
Yeah.
We've been talking about how our approach is to our music and instruments.
Yep.
This gives us a practical look at.
Yeah, a little taste of.
A bit of taste, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you grab the flute, what's the first thing you do?
Oh, how to hold it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay.
Because there are people out there that, even musicians, even myself, find this fascinating instrument, but when we grab it, we don't know how to hold it.
We tend to, so even I see my students, when they're learning a new instrument, they tend to hold like this. And then I'm trying to tell them with the right hand, you need to have the duck face facing away from you. So yeah, like I guess the left hand sits, the index finger sits right here where that first key is.
Okay.
And that's the weight's going to, that's one of the pressure points. There's three pressure points.
Yeah.
So the second one is the thumb, right hand thumb. So you don't want to be carrying the flute. The flute should be resting its weight.
The balance.
The balance, exactly. Otherwise, because there's some rods at the back here and they're quite heavy. So you see this happen a lot. And if the thumb, tell me if I'm going too quickly, I'm saying something.
No, go for it.
So there's these rods at the back here are really heavy. So this is the common thing that beginners tend to do. The right hand thumb's too far out and then the whole flute rolls backwards. So yeah, it's just finding that balance.
Yeah.
And then you can play all these notes like this. That's a bit awkward because most of your fingers are off the flute.
That's
right. That happens a lot.
So you actually have to have your fingers.
Find those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so your fingers have to be quite close for the action, for the attack.
So this happens a lot too.
Yeah.
So you have what I call banana fingers where, because it's awkward. Like the most awkward thing about this instrument, besides how you hold it, you can't see what you're doing. Violin, you can actually look at the instrument. As soon as kids laugh at this, as soon as you try and look at the keys, your embouchure is gone with this part here.
You're actually side on.
Yeah, you're side. You can't. You have to. Yeah, your head's facing here, and your fingers are here, so you can't look. I find that quite funny. So I always have a mirror with beginners, and then they're just. One kid the other day, this was hilarious. He's like, a little higher, a little to the side. So he could see what he was doing. Anyway, so that's the main aspect of holding it. You've got to find those pressure points there. And the right-hand pinky generally sits on this pinky key, not for every note, but that can help with balance. And then the third, I like to call this third pressure point, the pressure on the bottom lip against the lip plate, this part here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, because if you're not, there's so many factors, right?
There are so many factors with the flute. When people see, they think that they need to blow into the hole, but it's not about that. It's about aligning it, right?
You've got to align it first. Look, you can blow into, look what I'm doing here, because this happens a lot. The lips aren't lined up with the hole, but because I can't see, a lot of it's muscle memory as well. And a lot of repetition. So you're doing this a lot. You're trying to bring the flute to you and then finding that point, because even if the lip plate's too high, the tone changes. Minute factors with this.
So do you find that when you're playing things, do you find that moves and you move it intentionally to actually create a different sound, or is that the position and you do the rest with your fingers?
That's a good question. So look, you can move it. I generally don't because once you find that spot, then you keep it. There are times where, like right now, my lips are quite swollen. I think I had an allergic reaction to something. So I've had to change the position, but I tend to change before I play it.
Yeah, I see you when you're playing it.
Sometimes
you adjust it.
Yeah, so like because especially the tuning, it depends who you're playing with. The tuning, I'm going to go into tuning here. So you've got the head joint here. And as soon as you pull out the head joint, the tuning changes and becomes more flat. So now it's an A flat instead of an A. So as you push in, the flute is smaller in size, the metal.
Yep.
You know, you're not.
So it brings it sharper.
Sharpens it. Yeah.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so it's quite an awkward instrument to tune. And to tune, it takes some years to master that.
Like when you're tuning, and if you find that the tune is not quite right in the middle of playing,
yeah,
can you compensate with your playing?
You can. You can direct the air. There's a few factors here, so you can. It's also about air direction and speed. So, so a note that's generally, I remember when I found this out on the flute, I'm like, I picked the worst instrument to learn because the tuning's just a nightmare at times. So C sharp is generally a sharper. It sounds sharp.
Yeah.
It's generally sharp.
Yeah.
And but your A could sound in tune, but your C sharp might not be in tune. So each note almost has a different playing, not with the lips so much, a little bit. It's subtle with the lips. It's the air direction as well.
Okay.
And it's like singing. So if you can sing, this is a good instrument too, because you're connecting you've got your
voice box and your vocal cords.
Exactly. Well. Yeah. So it's very similar. So where you're directing the air, so you're singing a low note, you're down here in your chest voice. That correlates with the breathing and playing of the lower note here. And then as you move up into your mixed voice, the note sits around here.
Yeah, so then
the air does sit around here too when you're playing like a middle register note on the flute. And when you go up high, the same thing. You're up here in your head voice. So you've got to imagine that helps me with the flute as well.
Okay.
But then the air, the direction of the air is high. Like you aim
it.
Pivot. You got to pivot it without the. This tends to happen a lot. That changes the tuning completely, like, and the tone.
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah, it's quite specific. This instrument's very. There's so many minute things.
Just what you've mentioned now is a lot of things, and this needs to become second nature, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not. It didn't come to me naturally. I had to teach myself how to do a lot of these things.
But you can't think about that every time you play.
No,
right?
That's the thing. It becomes natural once you. There are tricks, obviously, to speed up the process. Otherwise, I was thinking about it going, okay, so now I've got to.
It doesn't translate.
No, it doesn't always translate. Yeah.
It's a complicated instrument, but a beautiful instrument. You know, it's something that there's no other instrument that can provide that tone.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, you got your woodwinds, you got your clarinet, saxophones, oboe.
But they've all got different sounds.
But they're all similar, sort of like in nature.
And you think reeds?
In the reeds. But even they've got their own family, like the reeds and the trumpets. The reeds have got your bassoons, your saxophones, your clarinets, which are totally different, altogether different instruments within that group. Then you've got your trumpets, your trombones, your brass section. But the flute's got the flute, the bass flute, the baritone, piccolo, and that's about it.
Flute, bass, baritone,
but it's still the flute.
That's true. And I guess it's probably, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean the shakuhachi also you blow across.
Yeah.
But it's one of the only instruments, orchestral instruments, where you're actually blowing across and down into the instrument.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where I think second nature comes to people, where they just blow into the thing.
Yeah.
You know? And this is where what you were saying before, you need to actually angle and align and pivot and have it happening naturally.
You got to have it happening naturally, but also there's a lot of visualization, I find, even when you're going, you've got to anticipate with anything, especially when you're reading music. If you see like a low G and you're going to play like a third octave G, you can't just jump to that G in that moment. You're going to get like a squeal. So you've got to prepare that note. So as you're playing that low G, you've got to shift. You've got to prepare this part here in the air so that you're hitting that, ready to hit that next note. So the transition is seamless. This is another tricky thing, the keeping the air smooth between each note. That took me years to. I'm still working on it now, but between like certain notes, there's always like a split. Like if you don't.
I get you. Yeah, I get you. It's that the in between.
Like harmonic. Yeah, so that takes us, again, so many things. But
it's complicated.
I mean, I love it, though. Like, I didn't love it for a long time. But now I really love it. But also, I'm just going to say a random fact. This uses as much air as a tuba because you're losing so much air
really?
While you're blowing across the...
Interesting.
Yeah, so I tell students that. They get frustrated with this instrument. And they go, look, the clarinets are making sounds. The saxophones, they're all playing notes. This is one of the more difficult ones to start on.
Yeah.
And once you get going, then if they get that far, well, then they enjoy it.
It's funny you should say that, but with the tuba, there's a lot of you can see the expression on the person's face.
Yes.
And it's really, but with the flute, it seems like, especially when you're playing, it's like you're playing, and you're like you're not playing. It's like how easy it looks, because you haven't got that facial expression as like a guy on a tuba.
Well, you know what? If I did have that facial expression, my notes wouldn't work.
Well,
so you've got to have a frown. Technically, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I picked two instruments where it doesn't flatter. Like, it's not flattering for photos or anything.
You can't smile while you're playing. It's not like the guitar. You go,
as soon as you smile, the embouchure's gone.
No, it's done. It's done.
You can't.
And that's why you were saying that, you know, even if you eat certain foods beforehand, it affects the way you play. Is that right?
Oh, if you eat food, it's very similar. Like singing, like, this isn't taught enough with flute. Flute teachers should teach this more, or even get some vocal lessons to learn about the physiology of the
From the diaphragm.
Exactly. That's something I didn't learn, and that's why it took me so long. Once I got some vocal lessons, and I went, oh, this is working now. The breathing is so important. It's 90%, like, a lot of it is the breath and being able to fill up correctly with air and letting out,
the right amount.
The right amount, and just having that support. Having that support of air.
It's funny that you've discovered that, because you know, as a singers, that would be the first thing to do is breathing.
Yeah.
Your breathing, your cycle breathing, you know, your diaphragm and everything. But it's funny how it doesn't translate to that.
I think we forget about it. Yeah. Because we're so busy, like, trying to do all this stuff.
Want to shred.
Yeah, so I know. I do, like, a little trick I do if you're a teacher. This is a tip for teachers. I'm sure some of them are doing it already. Two-person flute, you get the kid to either focus. Actually, I normally get the kid to focus on the head joint to keep them. Tell them to just keep blowing a consistent stream of air, and then you play the fingers. Yep. So they're here, and then they go, wow, that feels weird, because it's singling out the breathing and the nuances in the embouchure.
Yeah.
And because they've got so many factors to think of. Yeah. They're trying to get the fingers right, and too often they're so focused on the fingers, they actually forget about the tone.
And that's all about overthinking sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know?
But when you're starting off, you want to absorb all the information that's coming through. And when you absorb it, I think it's too much.
It's too much. And also, look, these instruments, even with violin and guitar, your right hand's doing something, your left hand's doing something different. Yeah. So you're combining all these different elements, and your brain's in overdrive, especially if you're not used to it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you've got to single out each factor if you can.
And that's the thing that needs to all become muscle memory and second nature, right?
Yeah.
And that only comes from practice.
Yeah.
And I think repetitive things. So heading towards practice, what do you do to start off? What are your warm-ups? Things? What are your things when you grab your flute? You haven't played for a day, and you grab the flute.
I've played for a week. Oops. So
what's the first thing that you do when you grab the flute, or what can you tell us about when you're playing? When you're starting to play, what are your go-to exercises or anything? And probably want to bring that mic as well.
True.
So, yeah, tell us a bit about what you do. When you grab the flute, bang.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing?
So I probably start with whistle tones. So I'll see if I can do them. Let's see if this works. My lips are a bit swollen. But I normally pick one note, so it's really specific to the embouchure. It's that you really need a relaxed embouchure.
And it needs to be consistent, right?
It needs to be consistent. So I'll just do it on one note. And you can even look, this is something I'd have to explain, but this isn't for a beginner. This is something you learn at uni or if you're for more advanced flutists. It's what I do.
Exactly. It's what you do.
I tend to go, so whistle tones really helps me to relax the embouchure and to find the center of the tone. Oh, it's not working today. So I try and go between a harmonic series. Yeah. That's the idea. I spend about 10 minutes on that or longer.
To me, that seems quite hard.
It's very, what's the word?
Intricate.
Yeah, but I love it. Like, yeah. I learned it at uni, and my teacher at the time, amazing teacher, told me she spent hours doing that. You'll just do whistle tones. Yeah, it's all exactly. It's to help with the embouchure, the subtle changes. It's just, and it's a quick way to get, for me, tone is number one on the flute. Yeah, it's known for tone.
Yeah,
technique exactly. Can come later.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I do, whistle tones. And then I go into harmonics, which is, so I just play one note, work up the scale, and I play all the overtones of that, the harmonic series on each note. So I don't change my fingers. I didn't do it in the right order, but that's the idea.
Yeah.
And then I connect the notes. So I'm just fast tracking here. Normally that's a lot easier, but because I haven't played in a week, that's actually quite rusty for me. Yeah.
But that's your warm-up, right?
That's my warm-up. So I go through that. That'll probably take me 20 minutes, depending on how much time I have.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just try and do those two things in 20 minutes. I also do singing into the flute.
I like that. I like that because you use that on stage too.
Yeah, I do. So it's a really quick way to get the tone happening and to keep the throat open and to get all that air coming
through. It's quite a good effect too. Like you got two tones coming out.
Yeah. Oh, that one. You know? Yeah. That's something I just do for fun, but I'll go to that one next, but I'll just play like a G and then I'll kind of, I'll add some air and try and sing it and blow the note at the same time. And then I'll do like thirds. Yeah. And I'll sometimes go up a scale. And already that improves the tone on that note. So
you can hear it improving while you're doing it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's just like centering that tone and it's combining the singing and the breathing.
That's amazing.
It's a really quick, like, I can't recommend it enough for flute players. Like if you're not liking your tone or if you're having an off tone day, just do that.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
Fun. I like it.
And then you do the flutters. Those flutters that you do.
Oh, yeah.
I really like those.
So that's also, it's all from the throat. So that's going to, a bit from here too.
Yeah,
so it's a bit of both.
It's a bit of both.
Yeah, so that's.
But I feel that you're actually controlling it through your throat.
Yeah, the speed, I guess. Yeah. So that's flutter tonguing.
That's really good.
I haven't done that in a while, actually.
When you're doing an improv and you just pop that in somewhere, it just brings that dynamic thing. It's like, that it just fits in when you're shredding and you put that in. It's like, you know, because there's a lot of the old soul singers, they used to do that with their voice.
They add that growl.
And that's what it reminds me of. It's like when you're in the moment, you know.
It's fun.
It's something that, you know, when you pop it in, you think, that's it. But you got to pop it in the right moment.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just put it through the whole thing.
No, that's right.
I mean, that's a couple of, that's tone specific, and then I'll do technical warm-ups. I'll just play through. Look, this is boring. I play through a lot of classical scales. I love doing this. I play through studies. A bit. So it's basically a piece in a set key. So it's like a technical piece in a set key.
Yeah.
And kids love it. And I don't tell them it's actually a scale. Mm. So it's just a scale turned into a piece.
Makes it more interesting.
It's more interesting. And a lot of them tackle a whole combination of techniques like octave jumps and things like that.
Okay.
So then you're warming.
Within
the one piece, they try and throw in things like articulation, jumps between registers, long tones, breathing. So it combines a whole lot of elements.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a quick way to warm up on a scale as well.
And when you're teaching, especially kids, you got to make it interesting, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of, I actually put backing tracks on. I do a lot of call and response.
That's good.
It's specific to whatever piece they're doing. So the key, they normally start with C major or G major. Yeah. And if they're doing a piece in G, I'll just go G, 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 B, G. I won't say the notes. I want them to try.
Play them.
And I'll give them a bar to hear the notes because we tend to just copycat without listening to what's been played.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll go G, 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 listen.
And then,
yeah, exactly.
Awesome. That's a good technique.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that with the guitar students.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
And then you can, when they're a bit older, if they're not too scared of it. A lot of the older kids are scared of the improv stuff now because they've been so trained in a certain way. And the idea of doing something on their own without music scares them.
Yeah, no safety net.
Yeah.
No safety net. But in regards to the fingering on the flute, you need to be quite close, right, to get those, not only the tones, but the speed as well.
Exactly. So that's something I've been noted for and I'm grateful for. My fingers, it's just, I'm lucky in that I must have had, I can't remember who all my teachers were, but whoever started me off, thank you, because my fingers are quite, I can keep them quite close and I can, and that gives me a good technique. And I'm quite grateful for that because I see a lot of players, their fingers tend to be too high up, but they still play very well, but they just can't get the same speed. Like, you're right, it's so important to have, and this is tricky, having the right hand fingers. It's all training the fingers to work independently. This is another thing.
And not only in one direction, but in every single direction. I know that's something that I'm going through with at the moment. And after many, many years, I'm trying, there's a picado technique where I use two fingers, but now I'm putting in the third finger.
And
that just throws a spanner in the works.
It does, and it slows. You notice where I have, there's even notes now where I'm trying to do combinations of chromatics and, you know, fourths and thirds, all of that. And you're like, oh, it doesn't work so well there. And then you're like, okay, let's look at that part. And
that's where you take yourself out of that comfort zone where, you know, it's just that muscle memory.
Yeah.
You need to bring it out. Especially, I think, for me, that comes as well with the genre of music. If you're playing, you know,
or flamenco is full of like.
Yeah, but if I play a different genre of music, if I play, say, rock or metal or jazz or something, it actually changes.
Because
you have to change.
Technique changes.
Yeah, technique changes because you need to change the actual tones.
Definitely. So
does that happen on the flute as well?
Yeah, definitely. So, 100%. So there's different kinds of tones. Look, the tone I've been playing for you today, we call it like it's like a full, rich, deeper tone.
Yep.
But say for Baroque music, you want like I call it a bright tone.
Okay.
So there's different tonal colors within the flute as well.
And within the genres.
Within the genres. So Baroque music, you wouldn't, that's the way I was playing. I like romantic music. Yeah. So it's more like fuller, richest, deep purple sound.
Yeah.
But I used to play more Baroque, but I haven't done it recently. But yeah, you want a lighter area tone for Baroque and even jazz generally. Yeah. Jazz, you're going to hear players with a more area, floaty sound.
And that is that harder to control?
You mean the tonal
color?
It does take a long time. I'm not an expert on it. I'm really good with the deep tone, but I haven't spent enough time on the lighter yellow. Colors like
a yellow
tone for like that Baroque more refined music where it's more more articulation based as well. That's something I can work on. I just haven't chosen not to.
you're right, because when I hear flute, especially in chamber music
it sounds different
and when you're playing like with me, it's different. It's like a different instrument. I find that in the orchestras, it can sound really bright and really piercing.
Yes, and they need that for a lot of the songs because there's only three of them.
Yeah, and there's
like 40 violins, 40 string. So they really need to be able to project that sound.
So is that within the training itself, or does the piece actually tell you to do that?
It's within the training itself. I don't think I've seen. Look, some pieces, I think if there's flute specific pieces, sometimes I'll have a note up there with this tone, but it's rare.
Mm.
You've just got to know what kind of you got to know how to interpret it.
I think that comes with the type of musician you are. If you're a classical musician, you'll probably know that. If you're a jazz musician, you'll probably know that.
Mm.
And you know those different
nuances.
I've heard many flute pieces and many flute different flute genres where different flutes are in, and they sound different.
That's why I love the flute as well. Like, there's so many wonderful players, and they all have the flute players I love the best have their own sound. Even though, like with any instrument, right? You hear everyone's playing.
I don't think it is as much as the flute.
Really?
Okay. No, I don't think so. Like, a guitarist can emulate the guitarist to a T.
Yeah.
But the flute, I don't know whether it's the breathing or whether it's coming from from a vocal perspective.
Yeah, maybe it's that, because it's a lot of it's a lot of it is coming from you. Yeah. And then look, you're literally just pressing the buttons. And yeah. So a lot of it is not the instrument itself, it's what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you're
the lead up.
Exactly. Like a vocalist. Yeah, like it's very similar. No two vocalists can sound the same.
No,
right?
That's so true.
I think that's a bit with the
flute.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Because with the guitar's here and you're actually,
I guess you're not blowing any breath instrument, right?
Yeah.
Because you're really you're starting it off from within you. You're not just picking it up and going. I mean that takes skill as well, obviously. Like, it does. I'm not a very good pianist.
But that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
But particularly with the flute, I don't know why, but maybe it's the actual the blowing, maybe it's the variations that come within the flute itself, but you have to make those tonal sounds, but you're making them organically with your own breath and own body.
Yeah.
Whereas with the piano or string instruments, you can actually go in there and emulate, I think maybe quite easier.
Mm.
Whereas the flute, you have to really be, if you're going to emulate another flute player, you have to really be on top of the tone, the technique, so everything. True.
And I used to try and emulate James Galway. I was, because he's someone who's known for his luscious, rich tone, but also really wide vibrato. Mm. So I'd be like goating a lot, because he's a romantic player at his essence.
An opera singer, really.
Exactly. Yeah. I was about to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very operatic how he plays. So I'd spent many years trying to be like,
Yeah, look.
And then found my own style. That's how you find your own style, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You find people that inspire you. Yeah. You learn about the way they're playing and emulate it to a point. Mm. And then you're like, okay, cool. Take that and that and that. And
then you find someone else emulate and someone else emulate.
And then you try and find
your own little thing.
It just happens anyway.
It just happens, yeah.
I didn't really try to find my own sound. I just
you just listen.
Yeah, you just listen.
And it happens automatically.
Yeah.
Awesome, Amla. Gonna get you just to play a little.
Just
a little bit. Doesn't really have to be long. Just a little bit of a piece, show people that, you know, all of that practice and all those techniques come into play when you're playing live.
I need another hour for a warm up. what song should I do?
Just something short. Yeah, even a study.
Or
something. You know.
I'm trying to think. Wait. I might do a scale because
Go for it.
Oh, I'll try that again. That was a bit rusty, but
that's what it is. That's the innocence, right?
Yeah, I'll try it. Normally I can go faster, but because I'm already going, oh, I didn't connect that note.
You're free thinking.
Yeah, so I normally, again, I would just go back to the harmonic jumps and refine that, and then get that going.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What an insight to the flute.
We could talk about it for another.
What a great player.
Oh, thank you. There's so much I still don't know about this thing. There's like multiphonics as well. Don't get me started on that.
Multiphonics.
Or you can play two notes.
That?
You can play two notes at once. Like, quickly, I'll try.
Now
you got me on this
topic. Go for it.
I don't know if I can do it now. There we go.
It's like two flutes.
So there's different fingerings for that. It's just new for me, but I haven't learnt them.
Far out.
Da, da. So it's a B flat and an F together. It's crazy.
Far out. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a whole orchestra in itself.
Yeah, right.
Really?
I know. It's very versatile.
Yeah. Now, with the flute and everything else, you're, as we know, you do some looping work.
Yes.
Do you find that, do you loop with the flute and you do lines with the flute, or do you find that it's easier to do something with your percussion and your violin?
I always start looping with the violin and percussion.
Okay.
And flute depends on how I'm feeling. Sometimes people find this cool. I'll loop a flute melody at the end and layer it with harmonies, like right at the end of the song. I don't do it in between.
Yeah, yeah.
So in between, I'll just play the melody, the melodic lines on the flute. And at the end, if I want to build up, I'll just find a random melody and then I'll loop it in thirds.
On the fly.
Yeah, on the fly. And then I'll fade it out.
You should try using the flute, and this is just
Oh, for chordals. Yeah.
No, no, for bass lines, and then put your octave on.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You try that.
Yeah, I guess I've been doing that with the singing anyway. Yeah. So it's the same thing, right?
Same thing.
True.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thought.
Yeah, I'll give that a go.
Yeah, give it a go. Amla, thank you so much.
Thank you. That was fun. Yeah, I could talk about it for ages. There's so much.
We can talk about these things and our instruments for days.
But we'll be doing one with your instrument.
We will be doing one in the future. Yes, that's right. Thanks so much. Now, we don't forget our sponsors, Cakey Cookies. We've got cookies today.
Yum.
And Music Pro Services for all your producing needs.
.com.
That's the one.
Thank you.
Also wanted to mention Queenie. Single is out on Spotify.
Produced
by yours truly. It was an honor. It was a pleasure. It's beautiful. Come out song. Really, really, really good. Come out really good. Like, speaking of the single launch, it actually sounded quite good there.
Yeah, it sounded great.
People were silent.
I know a few people asked for it in a CD format.
maybe what you should do.
A couple of vinyls, I was thinking.
No, we'll have a chat.
Yeah.
Off the episode, but do an album where it collates all of your music and make it as an album and sell it at your gigs.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, it doesn't take, just press it. Yep. You've already got the music there.
Yeah.
You know? And it gives people a physical thing, and I think that's what
they want that.
They want that, you know. Thanks so much, Amla.
Thanks for
having me. What a great insight.
I love this. I was going to say I love this thing. There's so much I don't know about it yet. Yeah.
There's so much we don't know about any of it.
I know. That's why it's fun, right? That's why we keep playing them.
Ourselves.
I know.
Instruments.
Yeah. That's a topic for another time.
That's another time.
Who am I?
Who am I? That used to be a South Century question. Remember South Century?
I watched Silent Century. My parents loved it.
I was born in.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, we should do something like that. Yes. Anyway, thanks, Amla. Thanks once again.
Thank you.
Till next time.
Bye.
Ciao.
The Strike A Chord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.